Welcome to Marketing for the Sales Guy, a podcast that aims to share marketing ideas that salespeople can use, but also hopefully will be relevant to B2B marketers that want to see sales results from their marketing efforts.
Okay, this week on the show, we have Cristina Vizcasillas from the media agency Carrot, based in Singapore. We're going to have a little discussion today about programmatic advertising. But first off, I just want to welcome to the show Cristina. Hi, Cristina.
Hi. Hi, Jeremy.
Hey, it's good to speak with you. Hey, listen, before we kind of jump into the discussion, just tell us briefly, what is it that you do at Carrot exactly?
Yeah, sure. So I am currently a senior digital manager. I'm part of the Microsoft APAC hub team that we call it. Essentially, what we do is just plan digital campaigns for Microsoft across 10 markets in the APAC region.
Okay, so we're going to talk very much about programmatic advertising today, and especially some of the myths surrounding programmatic. And we all think we know what programmatic advertising is, but how would you explain it simply, Cristina?
Yeah, I mean, I love that I have the opportunity to really simplify it, because I think it can be really defined as it's really the process of buying media in an automated fashion through digital platforms. It's just okay. Going from you know, the traditional way of buying media, where we would exchange impressions and inventory on an IO basis, in a manual way, you would pick up the phone, call someone on the other side of the line to buy on bulk. You suddenly have all of these new digital platforms that allow us to automate the entire process and make it more efficient.
Okay, no, that's perfectly explained. It sometimes seems overly complicated, but I think that was a great explanation.
I agree, yeah.
There are a number of misconceptions about programmatic, and I believe there are a number of common myths. And I believe you could share kind of two or three of the most common with us today.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, the first kind of like myth that we have seen around the industry is the belief, some advertisers tend to believe that programmatic will serve more on the awareness side of things and, the topper part of the funnel. Some other advertisers will just think about retargeting and that, you know, purchase conversion driving part of the funnel. And the answer is really, it can really serve a purpose across the entire user journey, as long as we use the right tactics, the right targeting strategies, and we tailor our media against the right KPIs as well. So if that is in place, we can make the platforms work for us against any of these objectives. And it can serve purpose by combining these and also the formats that we're leveraging, et cetera. We can use multiple combinations and make it work throughout the user journey. So yeah, that's really the first myth that I really like to uncover for everybody, because we shouldn't bucket it in one specific way.
No, that's true. I mean, more often than not, though, is it true that clients tend to use it in a certain way? Or, I mean, a lot of clients are certainly, particularly right now, are interested more in lead gen than anything else. Is programmatic kind of used more by clients for the top end of the funnel? Or is that fair to say? Or as you suggest, it is something that is more balanced?
For lead generation, a lot of the clients will trust on platforms that would have that lead gen embedded within, which makes total sense. But that does not mean that programmatic cannot optimize towards a lead or collect lead gen. Like, more and more we have DSPs, you know, coming up with formats and publishers coming up with formats that do collect that lead on site as well. So yeah, it's not to be disregarded for lead generation campaigns. Absolutely not. Especially if we're looking at post-view conversions, it performs really, really well if you're targeting the right audience.
Okay, but we shouldn't just be concerned with driving traffic with programmatic. It has more to offer than that, yeah?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So I think looking at traffic conversions only, it's a very, very small part of the overall picture. Like, clicks for the sake of clicks, it's you know, I think it's a very narrow vision of the entire ecosystem. I think at the end of the day, what we're looking at is you know, staying in the top of mind of our audience, make sure, you know, our users consider our brands when they have to take decisions, when they have to take business decisions. And so being present wherever they are in their digital journey makes sense, regardless whether we're driving a click at that specific point or not. And it doesn't mean that we've not driven or landed our message. You know, if our creatives are in the right placements, are viewable, very important to look at viewability as well, despite some people believing that it may be opposite to driving that performance. It is crucial that we ensure that we're driving placements that are still viewable at the end of the day, so that they have that chance to influence our target audience and on the longer term, get those business results that our clients are looking for.
Yeah, no, that's great. I mean, it's a great kind of way to advise clients. I guess the challenge is that with data, there is so much measurement involved. Clients tend to gravitate really to what can be measured. I think that's probably true, isn't it?
Exactly. So keeping the balance with that, of course, one of the beautiful sides of digital in general and programmatic specifically is that we can measure a lot of things and we can see the impact of our campaigns and we can, you know, attribute conversions in different ways. And that's beautiful. And it is very useful indeed, but we cannot lose sight of the rest of the activity that may not be so measurable. Like all of those audiences that are not necessarily identified out there, for example, those are valid. Everyone who's navigated on Safari may not have an identifiable profile, from the digital ecosystem perspective, right? That doesn't mean our audience isn't valid. So there still needs to exist the balance between what we can measure and what we know, what is targetable, what is attributable, and what is not, but it's still very much relevant and can really serve a purpose for our advertiser, right? We cannot just target all of our advertisers go into that, you know, 30-40% of our audience who is perfectly trackable, attributable, etc., right? That would just not make any sense. So yeah.
No, I mean, that is definitely a challenge, isn't it? I mean, clients are aware that they can have this data to be able to target to the kind of nth degree, but it's not always possible and not always desirable, is it?
Exactly. And we can easily fall into that trap of like measurement and going in spiral and, you know, targeting more niche and going down that route. And sometimes it's good to take a step back and say, okay, what are we doing here? What are we trying to drive? What message are we trying to land? Where is our audience really navigating? Use contextual sometimes as a proxy as well is very valid. And it has less limitations in terms of audience data as well. So yeah. There's definitely a moment where we need to, you know, leave the data on the side and start looking at other ways of driving media and results as well.
What are some of the other kind of misconceptions that you think are out there about programmatic?
Yeah, so on this targeting point that we were just talking about, I think there is this tendency to wanna, you know, target very niche audiences on programmatic or digital as a whole. Like we want to overlay, you know, demo and behavioral and contextual, and we want to know like those, you know, those IT pros who are currently in market for this and that, and you know, we're going very, very niche. And as much as that is a possibility, you know, we do have that data at hand and those segments are available to us. We just have to, you know, pay a specific CPM and you know, there are data, beautiful data companies out there that can get us really niche targeting across. We need to always balance that. And one of the myths that we debunk here is that we need to take note that there are three pillars to really try to balance all the time. And those are your targeting, which can be, you know, niche or broader, and then you also need to balance it with the right scalable platforms so that you can get the right cost. Otherwise, very niche targeting against, let's say, a premium or strict environment could really spike your cost per acquisition or your cost per lead and your overall performance. So having that in mind, sometimes you may not want to go that niche. Keep it a little bit more balanced, so you know, at least potentially you're leveraging on a higher scale of publishers or on the open exchange, so that you have more room to play with the inventory that you have. That can sometimes work better on a CPA basis or cost per lead basis. And if you take a broader approach where you keep the three pillars kind of like a little bit more open, and you go more on the prospecting side of things on a wider scale platform, that's when you can really make your cost per acquisition or cost per lead, you know, higher for you. You can make the platform look for those audiences that actually work for you, whether you had defined that at the beginning or not. So oftentimes a brand would go into programmatic having a very preconceived idea of who their audience is and who their profiles, which profiles they want to go after. But when they actually have a prospecting campaign, they realize that their main you know, consumers are on another side of the spectrum that they had not considered before. And that sometimes opens the opportunity for them to have a separate campaign just for them or tailor the message differently just for them. So that's what the broad approach would really also open up to you, besides having a cost or a better performance on the overall campaign.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point. Too often, I think, you know, we sit down and work out, you know, the perfect persona of our customers and think we can define them again in some great detail. But more often than not, there are customer segments out there that you hadn't considered or you've not picked up. So I think that's an excellent point about keeping it broad enough to capture any new potential prospects. And that's a great point.
Yeah, I think that is often missed. So again, it's all about balance, right? After the target audiences that you want to reach out, because as from a business standpoint, you want to make sure that you're against those people. That makes total sense. But keeping a portion, you know, more optimized towards performance and potentially using that as a way of rediscovering your audience is never a bad thing.
No, absolutely. Now, you mentioned scale in there in the three pillars. Just going off on a tangent slightly, when we talk about scale, that kind of leads me to think that sometimes programmatic is something you think about just for large enterprises who have the scale of budget and who have multiple kind of personas that you want to go after. Is programmatic something that's really only suitable for larger enterprises with scale and budget to match?
I think the scale is definitely, an attractive point for enterprises that need to, you know, deploy large budgets when it comes to advertising. But by all means, it shouldn't just be restricted to those types of companies. I think at the end of the day, what the scale is just an opportunity for you to go and fish in the sea. But that doesn't mean that you need to necessarily have to go and go as broad. Like, I think at the end of the day, what matters is for you to find the right tech, the right DSP platform that can give you access to most of the inventory out there that has the right connections with most SSPs and is has those direct integrations with the publishers that you're interested in and the data vendors that you may want to leverage. And from there, you can go, you can take it small. You can start, with smaller budgets, defining your audiences in a particular way. You set your hypothesis and you can definitely get started with smaller amounts and get the platform to start collecting data and start learning from your smaller campaigns. I wouldn't say is only restricted to larger budgets at all. In fact, there are a few platforms that are supposedly to be like this hybrid between going into a full-on DSP and for smaller enterprises to get accustomed to that bidding system and start buying out there. So no, I don't think it's restricted at all to just enterprises.
Oh, okay, that's interesting. And listen, something that always seems to come up when people are discussing programmatic is brand safety. How do you view brand safety? How is programmatic tackling that?
Yeah, I think brand safety has been one of the hot topics for quite a while. I think if anything, I think sometimes we go, too hard at it, as in like as an industry, we've had it on our radar for too long. So I am confident that the gaps on brand safety can be very little if the right measurements are in place. So I think, at least from our point of view in Cara, like we have different levels of brand safety from the DSP that we use to then our own exclusion of keywords or specific sensitive categories that we would block for all our advertisers. Then there is a third layer that it's usually customized to each brand. So for some advertisers, they will have specific set of categories that they may want to be excluded from, and some other advertisers may not be sensitive to those categories. So we can also have like a specific whitelist of sites or whitelist of categories and narrow it a little bit further. And then the most efficient and technology driven brand safety layer that we can use is by leveraging this ad fraud and brand safety third party verification platforms that exist. So it's very, very common for advertisers to just partner with this verification platforms on a global level to ensure that their brand safety is guaranteed, and the reach that these guys have is really huge. And some of them even offer you the possibility to say, look, if we've not been there before, we've not tracked it before, we've not audited the brand safety of this site before, we're not even gonna let you bid on the inventory. So they can really protect you before you even place a bid and you have an impression. So yeah, I think it is, we've gone to a level where it is very much ensured. I wouldn't say 100% guaranteed because that's never the case, but yeah, definitely we're way more advanced than some other platforms that by default, a lot of people would assume that they ran safety, but because they're user generated, they're, you know, dealing with user generated content, it's a lot harder. And we do have a lot of measures in place.
The risk is always there, and I say this is something that's been around for a while, not peculiar to programmatic only. And as you said, there are tech solutions out there and there are workarounds, and you know, so it's been a challenge for a while, and you've been dealing with that, so that's kind of interesting. Just looking to the future a little bit more, where do you see, I mean, programmatic, it seems like it's been around for a long time, but it hasn't been, relatively speaking, and it certainly dominates a lot of the digital banner buying space now. Where do you see the future of programmatic just in the next few years, not really in the next 10, just the next few?
Yeah, I think the next few years are going to be seeing a lot more adoption. I think, especially in APAC, the levels of adoption in the last few years have been huge. And I think we're expected to go in this direction. I think the level of personalization is also going to increase. And we're going to go into this ultra targeted, you know, personalized and dynamic space that I think now we're seeing more and more of. And I think it's been discussed for a while, but I don't think all brands or advertisers have it like that comfortable level where they say, yeah, definitely all my campaigns are personalized, all my campaigns are dynamic. So I think we're definitely going in that direction. And then the second direction that it's obvious is that we're gonna, every touch point that we have or every channel that becomes digital, so let's say, you know, outdoor becoming more digital, then that will automatically be part of the programmatic ecosystem. Like as we see TV going, you know, also a bit on the digital space and having internet, then that's when programmatic can come in. And then the, you know, smart watches or wearables in general, I think that will also be another space where programmatic is gonna have to start, owning as well as part of an advertising digital space that we will have. So anything that can be exchanged digitally, then I think it will make sense to have this automated way of buying in between.
Okay, well, that's interesting. Actually, the bit about more ultra-targeting scares me a little bit. I already think my clients are ultra-targeted now in terms of their requirements. So being even more ultra-targeted scares me a little bit. But no, there's some great points there. That was really very interesting. Hey, listen, if people wanted to know more about programmatic or reach out to you, what is the best way to find out more or to contact you?
They can contact me on LinkedIn or my email, which I can share with you. But I think there's actually a lot of resources about programmatic now online. So thanks to this pandemic, we've had a lot of free content out there for and educational content about programmatic that's going around. There's a few DSPs that are offering, I think Google, the Trade Desk and MediaMath, I think the three have had their kind of like sharing of you know, what is programmatic and some courses out there that people can look into. I think that would be really interesting. And if they have any specific questions with me, you know, my name and surname, Cristina Vizcasillas, you can find me on LinkedIn, and yeah, and I'll be happy to share more.
Well, that's great. That's very generous of you. And thank you very much for mentioning those three sources. I'll be sure to put some links in the show notes. So that is great. Thank you very much, Cristina, for being on the show and sharing your thoughts. I thought that was very, very interesting. Thanks very much.
Not a problem. Thanks so much for having me.
All right, Cristina. Thanks very much. You take care. Thank you.
So, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, do share. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. If you want to access other podcasts and related articles, you can visit us at omjmedia.com. That's omjmedia.com. Until next time, bye-bye.